Tonight's episode of The War Room is brought to you courtesy of the Boston Battle Bunker. That's 69 Penn Street in Boston, Lincolnshire. The biggest selection of bolt action in Lincolnshire. They do competitions, games, and will see to all your needs. In fact, he's got one of the biggest selections of bolt action in the UK. So guys, get down to the bostonbattlebunker.co.uk. Hello everybody, it's Paul here at War HQ and the War Room, and I'm going to do the Monday night podcast. So as you guys are all aware, we're off to Whitley Bay in a little while, and we'd almost decided, in fact I think I had decided I was going to take early war Japanese, the 1937 list, but in the end we decided to go for the Burma list. So what was all that about? We didn't know the scenarios, so I decided to go, it's an escalator, 500 points, and then you've got to make that 500 points into 750, and that 750 into 1,000 was all we knew. So what I decided on in the end was to go for something that looked a bit like the Russian 500 point I took to Las Vegas. So we had a second lieutenant with his pal, a veteran by the looks of it. I'm taking 2 5-man squads of native irregulars, they're veteran as well, so they get to deploy as snipers and observers, and they also get to ignore rough ground for the first turn. A squad of 15 inexperienced bamboo stick fighters, a flamethrower team regular, just a man pack, a regular Stuart with the 2 extra LMGs and recce on it, and a light truck, a veteran light truck with an MMG on it. So that's what I've got. Turns out 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, only 7 dice. And that's what just went for the 500 points. Now, the day after I put the lists in, which was early, but only just by a day, they released the mission packs. Thought they would have been better releasing the mission packs the day after the lists had to be in, so they could choose to penalise people or not. But I'm kind of glad that I sent my list in first, because I'd have been changing my list to play these. But I really like the missions that they've chosen down at Whitley Bay. They corrected a couple of things that were maybe mistakes last time. Very similar scenarios to last time, but they're all a wee bit different. So the 500 point game, which is the first game, is called Scouting for Kicks. So for the setup, you choose... In fact, you set up... There's 3 objective markers. The first one is set up in the middle of the table. So 2 foot in from the long table edge and 3 foot in from the short table edge. And then there's 2 other objectives which are set up, again, 1 foot in from the long table edge and 3 feet in from the short table edge. So if you like, if you're standing at the long table edge, you have 3 objectives set up in front of you, a foot apart, 1 at 1 foot, 1 at 2 foot, 1 at 3 foot. So they're equidistant across the table in a straight line looking right up the middle. Now, because we're playing 300 points, that obviously means that we automatically more or less brings the size of the table down, which works out fantastically. So rather than playing on a 4x4, you've just, by concentrating play in the middle of the table, you've... Most of those troops are all going to be set up, so that's fine. So the objective is to try and gain control of the 3 objectives while preventing the opposing troops from escaping. Game lasts 6 turns. You roll for the 4th, for the 7th turn. I think that's the game for... That's the rule for all of the games that are in. Victory. The centre objective is worth 4 points to the controlling player, and the other 2 objectives are worth 2 points each. If you destroy at least half the other enemy's units, that's going by dice, you get 2 victory points. So I'm going to have to try and preserve at least four of my units. If the player with the most points is the winner. So that's straightforward. No 2 points up, 2 points down for that one. And to control an objective, the player must be touching an objective at the end of a turn with an infantry unit, and no enemy infantry unit can be in contact with the same objective. An enemy unit, not an empty transport or artillery tractor, can be within 5 inches of the objective. If it is within 5 inches, it halves the victory points gained for that objective. Vehicles and artillery cannot control an objective, but can prevent an opponent from getting full victory points. So I'm wondering if you gain control of it, it flips to you, and then the other person has to take it off, or whether this is just in the last turn it counts. So that's the only thing I would need to work. So in other words, what I'm saying is, if, say, on turn two, you are touching the objective and the enemy isn't, does that objective flip to you until he's touching the objective and you're not within the 5 inches? Or is it all worked out at the end of the last turn? I'm not sure which. I'm guessing it makes more sense to have it just on the last turn, but it's not entirely clear. But I really like that scenario, the way it's written there for 500 points. I'm probably going to struggle because I don't have many numbers. If I come up against a horde army, it's probably going to do me. I'm probably going to send my Stuart up the middle, I'm guessing. Try and empty infantry as much as I can. I think all the units have to be set up at the start of the game. We're putting a dice in the bag for each unit and drawing a dice out, and it has to be set up within 12 inches before the game starts. So that adds a bit of time to the games, unfortunately. But I've got two pre-deploying. My native irregulars pre-deploy in this particular game. So it's possible they can't deploy within 12 inches of the centre objective or any enemy units. But it's possible that they can maybe take that centre objective. If not, if it's just going to be decided on the last turn, I'm guessing the tactic is going to be sort of stand back, shoot up and destroy as much as you can, and make a mad dash at the end. Hopefully, if the Stuart is still alive, he can probably help to stop people going on, and I could nick a victory. But against a horde army, it's going to be really difficult. So then we came on to the second game at 750 points. Now, for 750 points, I can't remember exactly what I added to my list. So let's just go into Easy Army. Now, it came up rather quickly. Let's see. Easy Army, Burma, 750 points. Yes, here it comes. What have I added? I have added a medium mortar team, 2 snipers, they'll be regular. The medium mortar, I'm guessing, will be regular. What did I put it as? No, I put it as an inexperienced one. And I've got a medium howitzer and a suicide anti-tank team is what I've added for this one. And the scenario that came up for that is going to be get that man. Now, we played something similar to this. This is basically you trying to kill the opposition's officer, and to kill him, you do it by beating him in assault. Is the way you don't kill him, you capture him by beating him in assault. This kind of came unstuck last year because I did a prep bombardment against me and he actually took out my officer first turn. If you kill the officer with anything, if you kill the officer rather than capture him, you lose. So the guy took out my officer with prep bombardment and actually kind of lost. I didn't win either. So what happened was we both lost the game. So this is an unusual scenario. You can both win it and you can both lose it, oddly. So both players rolled dice. We choose a long table edge, we take all the dice out. We put a dice in the bag for each unit and we set up by pulling dice. We leave one dice out, which is the officer, and he must deploy... Oh, where was he again? Officers... Can't, where is it? Basically, you set your officer 12 inches in from your long table edge in the centre, and that's... Both guys have to do that. So the it could be quite important, depending on the tables, to win that roll to choose table sides, I'm guessing. Then we set up like we did in the previous game. Officers can't embark into transports for this game. That's interesting. And they can't be closer than 6 inches to any table edge. So it kind of helps to stop you from running away. Because in the game I played, I chased after his officer and just didn't manage to catch him and kill him, unfortunately. So we ended up both being... Oh, sorry, I drew that game then, didn't I? If I don't kill him, it's a draw. And he lost. How can you draw and lose? But anyway, that's what the result was. I hope you're following this. Exceptional damage does not apply to any officer units in this game. They are always the last figures removed as a result of shooting. So that could be quite handy. If I'm playing against a two or a three-man officer squad, my snipers can fire and take out the extra men, leaving them down to one man and putting pins on them. So that could be handy. Helps, possibly. It would be really handy if anybody's playing 4-7 commando and, you know, they've got the 6-man officer unit to bring them down. My guys, they're fanatics, but it's probably not going to matter too much because of my 2-man squad. But I do have a sword, so at least the officer is a tough fighter. So the objective, as I've said, is to capture the enemy officer. You are in the strange situation of having to keep the enemy officer alive. Lasts for 6 turns, usual stuff. The only way to win the game is to capture the highest ranking officer in the enemy force. To capture the officer, you must beat the unit in hand-to-hand combat. Vehicles cannot capture any enemy officer. If you accidentally, for example, misplace bombardment or destroying a building, shoot an enemy officer dead, you lose. You can deliberately shoot the enemy officer, but that does mean you lose. Exceptional damage rule does not apply. Blah, blah, blah. If both officers survive without being captured, the game is a draw. It is possible for both players to lose the game and both players to win the game. So again, I quite like that. And if I'd known what the scenarios were before, me being me, I'd probably play Commando 4-7 and get the old Royal Marines out again. But I'm feeling a bit more confident for this game, but we will see how it all works out. Probably use the bamboo spear fighters to protect them. There'll probably be a few tanks in 750. I've got the old suicide anti-tank guy to keep the tank away, perhaps. But you're really trying to get troops. I suppose mass troops could be my downfall. Looks like Horde Army is going to be my downfall, I'm guessing, at this particular competition. And then, of course, if I can get my mojo going, the next one would be the 1,000 points. Now, they've done something really interesting for the 1,000 points, which I really rather liked. And I've not seen it before. Let me get my 1,000 point army for... I think it's that one. Let's have a look and see. Yes, it is. So for my 1,000 points, to what I have before, I've added an engineer squad. They're veteran 8-man with a flamethrower. I've added another truck to put them in, and I've added a medium mortar, which I think this time will be regular. Let me just check. Yeah, it's a regular with a spotter. And the two snipers. I've added another suicide guy just to take up the points. And that's it. Field gun, obviously, is going to be handy in the previous one for taking them out. So, the last game is going to be scouting for kicks. Oh no, it's not. That's the first one. Where's the last one? Scenario 3. There we go. I've got Scenario 3 in my hands. Scenario 3 is defend the line. The player with the most dice will be the defender. So, probably going to be me. I don't know how many dice, but I'm starting to build up the dice now. Can't remember how many dice. I think I'm on about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11... 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I'm on 16 now, so I'm likely to be the defender in this one. So, defender chooses long table edge. In the event of both players have the same number, roll a dice. Yeah. Defender's initial 500 points will deploy within 12 inches of the table edge. The additional 250 point of the force will be your first wave. The final 250 additional points will be your reserves and are available from turn 2. There is no outflanking. The attacking player has their first 750 points in the first wave, and the remaining 250 points are available as reserves from turn 2. So again, if I'd been choosing this, I'd have had that in mind for the last game and would have been picking my lists appropriately, shall we say. But the objective is the attacker is trying to get through the defender's line, the defender is playing strings. There is a prep bombardment on a 2+ for the attacker. Hope I'm not playing British, because that could... Those two dice on the prep bombardment do make a big difference. But anyway, so first turn, the units on the table can be given any order the controller playing wishes. Yep. First wave units must run or advance. That's pretty... tests are needed to bring these units. Yeah, that's... No order tests are needed for these units. Usual... game duration as usual. Victory. The attacker gets 1 point for every unit in the defender's half. If the unit is within 12 inches of the defender's long table edge, the attacker scores 2 points. The attacker gets 1 point for each defending unit destroyed, and the defender gets 2 points for each attacking unit destroyed. If either player scores 2 points more than the other, they are the winner. So I guess in a way this is a bit like playing quarters, but over the entire half of the table. Oh, it's kind of a mixture between that and point defence, isn't it? I kind of like this one. I'm not too sure how it'll work out in practice. I'm kind of well set for being a defender with my howitzer and the using the Stuart is a mobile blockhouse, I guess. I'm going to have to watch for the final turns for units just sneaking over the halfway line and picking up points. But I'm going to have to try and pick up points on this one by killing units. So for me, it's a dice game, really. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. I think I would actually prefer to be the attacker on this particular one. I think the attacker probably has the advantage to a degree, but we'll see how it works out. And we're playing, I think we are going to play this one Allied versus Axis. So I don't think it's going to be a... What do they call it? Oh, you know, when you... It's not going to be the usual... draw. I think we're just going to play Allied versus Axis, so I'm guessing we've all been pre-drawn. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a fun one. Not looking forward to playing my partner in crime for this one, Brian. Brian is taking a horde Soviet army, and having looked at these scenarios, I think he should do pretty darn well in this competition. I think he's probably got the army for it, for the first one. I know he's got three sort of large, inexperienced squads that are moving up. so it should put him in good stead for taking over those units. I think he's playing Stalingrad, so his free unit will have Fnatic on it. So if I was him, I would just be charging that one straight forward. Unfortunately, if they get pins on them, it could stop them from doing very much. I think he's got a first lieutenant, which may help him out a little bit. So if I was playing him, my priorities would be trying to take out his first lieutenant. I think he's playing a Tokarev as well. I don't think he's got any armour in that 500 point list, because I have played it, if it hasn't changed too much before, with my Soviets. So I would be hard pressed to beat him at that one. I think I'd probably give him for run for his money in the second one. And I think the last one, it could be interesting. I think he'd probably just have too many troops for me. If I was him, I'd probably just advance and try and swamp me. But if we were playing that last one, I would be the attacker and he would be the defender, in actual fact, because he has got, I think he's got about 18 or 19 dice in his 1,000-point army. So he would be the defender. I'd have prep bombardment and I'd have snipers. Ooh, it could be quite a close game. Anyway, we shall see, because I might end up playing Brian with him having an allied force, technically. So, yeah, that could be interesting at the end of the day. I'm also going to take my shop down, so I'll be posting up there to see if they want any Warlord or Rubicon stuff coming shortly. What else? There's a couple of things have interested me on Facebook, but I'm probably going to deal with them on the War Room show. Harrison's been painting. I think he's looking to maybe do a British army next, so it's nice to see my co-presenter on the War Room on YouTube. He's taking a bit of an interest in painting, so who knows? Shows coming up soon. We've got Karen Aid is coming up at the end of, well, near the end of May. So I'm really looking for Karen Aid. It's one of the best shows in the country, and I have been to a lot of shows around the country. And for considering it so far north, and it's, we're a bit out of the way up here in the north, Karen Aid is a superb show. Best show, I would say, north, well, it's easily best show north of the border. Probably best show. Well, I haven't been to all the shows, but yes, it's definitely one to go to. So if you can make it up north of the border, come. And of course, remembering that we do have the Scottish Nationals on in May as well. So any of you guys want to pop up to Dunfermline, you'll be made extraordinarily welcome by the local club, the Dwarf Club. And we'd look forward to seeing you and seeing if you can take the prizes south of the border, because there are a lot of prizes. Tonight I'm off to Edinburgh to play with the lads that used to hang out at Sixes to Hit. They've got a new shop open, so I'm going to go to the shop. We'll probably do some sort of a podcast from there, which will go out on Friday with Craig Brown and maybe some of the guys from the Home Guard Radio. So look out for that. And we'll talk to you very soon, guys. Take care.